Good morning. Well, good morning, everyone. Let's turn to Revelation chapter 2. We're going to continue with the letters. Revelation 2, starting at verse 18. This is a message to Thyatira. Okay, 2:18. And to the angel of the church in Thyatira write, the Son of God, who has eyes like a flame of fire and his feet are like burnished bronze, says this, I know your deeds and your love and faith and service and perseverance, and that your deeds of late are greater than at first. But I have this against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, and she teaches and leads my bondservants astray, so they commit acts of immorality and eat things sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. Behold, I will cast her upon a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her into great tribulation, unless they repent of her deeds. And I will kill her children with pestilence, and all the churches will know that I am he who searches the mind and hearts. I will give to each one of you according to your deeds. But I say to you, the rest of you are in Thyatira, who do not hold this teaching, who have not known the deep things of Satan, as they call them. I place no other burden on you. Nevertheless, what you have, hold fast until I come. And he who overcomes, and he will, and he who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of the potter are broken to pieces, and as I also have received authority from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Amen. Okay. So, Thyatira is another city. It's roughly about 80 miles north of Pergamum that we read from yesterday. And Thyatira is a city known for its commerce and trade. And so this seemed to be quite a business-like city compared to when we talked about Pergamum yesterday, which was an educational, you know, it was a really spiritual hotbed. And so now Thyatira is a different kind of city, which has a different kind of culture around, which provokes a different kind of message. And so Jesus turns to this one, and again, he describes himself. Remember, I said it during this week. The way that he describes himself, right, in each of these letters gives us a clue of what he's trying to say, right? And so, yesterday he described himself as the one who has the sharp two-edged sword, right? The day before, he described himself, you know, that was dead and has come to life. And so the message is actually about redemption. You know, yesterday was about being in the Word, and today, you know, it's really about having a character or having a life, right, that coincides with our beliefs. Okay, and so he's dealing with an issue of hypocrisy, but it is an issue of moral compromise. You know, people are saying and looking like they're doing the right things, but only the Lord has the eyes of fire. You know, he's able to see beyond the actions. He's able to judge beyond the words and actually see what's actually in the heart. You know, so that's what meant by this. And as he writes here, he says, who has eyes like a flame of fire. Right, he sees past all the intentions, and he can look directly into the heart. Right, that's the eyes of fire. And then he says, and his feet are like burnished bronze. You know, and this is a picture of a judge. You know, and so he's saying, look, you know, not only right, the God's, you know, I have this great gift that I can see beyond what people say and what people do, and to see into their hearts. You know, it says in the Bible, right, God, you know, man looks at the outward appearance, but God looks at the heart. You know, and we'll see, Jesus will pick this up later on. And he's also the judge. And so he sees beyond what we can see. He sees beyond the intentions. He sees what's in the heart. And he is the judge, ultimately, through this. And so, we go in. And he encourages them again, right? He says, look, I know your deeds. You know, your love. You know, your faith, your service, your perseverance, and your deeds of late are greater than at first. And so he's actually telling this church, you guys are actually growing. You know, very similar or actually very different to the message in Ephesus, where, you know, they were, you know, really loved God, and now they've lost their first love. And so he's actually turning to Thyatira, and he's saying, look, you guys are actually growing. You know, you're being more faithful, you know, in the midst of all this, but this is what he has against you. And again, it goes to an issue of teaching. He says, but you tolerate this woman Jezebel. Now, obviously, we know Jezebel, right, in the Old Testament who Elijah had a lot of run-ins with, who killed the prophets, and you know, and she was a very unscrupulous woman that was really pulling the strings, you know, in dealing with her husband, and so she was actually in charge. And so, you know, we have this kind of picture in the church where we talk about someone who is a Jezebel, right? And you've heard this phrase before, you know, and when we talk in this scripture, most likely that Jesus is not referring to a woman, you know, it's probably not a woman named Jezebel. It could be the case. Like, you can make a case for that, but he's actually probably referring more to a spirit, you know, which we call the spirit of Jezebel. You know, when I was first dating Lisa, when we started dating for a little while, you know, we were talking about certain things, and I made the mistake of telling her that she was like a Jezebel, you know, and I don't really encourage you doing that at all, but I meant it on a very spiritual sense, because one of the ideas of Jezebel is that they're always trying to usurp authority, you know, and so the spirit by which the spirit acts, right, they're always, and it's not, and this is not just a female spirit. I want you to know that, right? Even though a lot of times it's used in that way, it's meant to be a spirit that always comes against authority. You know, it's a spirit that always tries to usurp that authority, you know, and just kind of very unscrupulous in this way. And in this case, you know, Lisa, she, you know, we were talking about this, that she has a problem with authority. And I just, you know, I just said it. I says, "Oh, that, yeah, that's a Jezebel spirit, you know." And yeah, I got in big trouble. So don't, you know, I don't encourage you to do that. But my assessment was correct, though, you know. And whenever you see this kind of like a person that has a real issue with authority or whatnot, you can invariably say that there is a Jezebel spirit at work in that person's life somewhere around there. Right, and it's the spirit that tries to usurp. And so he's most likely talking about this spirit besides this person, you know, in kind of way. And the big thing with the Jezebel spirit, right, is that it, just like Jezebel in the Old Testament, is what we call this idea of spiritual adultery. Okay, now spiritual adultery, what we mean by that, it's kind of taking, you know, like you know, when there's like a sexual immorality or adultery, it's taking that which is holy and mixing it with that which is unholy, right? That's what we would call spiritual adultery. In other words, sex, you know, or the intimacy between a husband and wife, that which is holy has been mixed with something that is unholy, right? Sex outside the marriage. You know, and so what Jezebel, what the spirit operates, is actually on a spiritual sense. And so the idea and the teaching that Jezebel or the spirit has been brought into the church is really dealing with, you know, taking something that is holy, right, and then mixing it with something that is unholy. And when that happens, you have spiritual adultery that happens, right? And so again, Jesus is coming to war against a teaching that has infiltrated the church. You know, and in very similar ways, and it's the thing is, it's so amazing how a lot of this stuff that we see in Revelation is being played out today in 2010. You know, have you ever heard a cult leader or some, you know, religious fanatic say, you know what, if you want to be pure and holy, you need to sleep with me. Right, as you know, you've heard this, right? I've heard this so many times. I actually know people that were involved in these types of cults, you know, that basically says, you know, like, because I'm the chosen one, I'm, you know, whatever, right? If you sleep with me, you'll be cleansed. You know, they do this in Hinduism, you know, they do it in, I can't say Christianity, but in the cults. You know, and this is exactly what's going on here. The spirit of Jezebel is basically saying, look, you know, and it's kind of like drawing on people's weakness in some way. Because, you know, can you imagine this group of people? There's a woman who's teaching, so she's obviously respected, you know, or a person, you know, and then, you know, they're teaching and this is, oh, yeah, you really want to be holy? I'll tell you the secret. You want to really know the deep things of God? The secret is that you should sleep with me. You know, just like the Holy Spirit, you know, came upon, you know, and they can use all kinds of stuff, right? And then it leads into this crazy, you know, kind of behavior. And then also this idea of things, eating food sacrificed to idols. Now, you have to understand, Jesus and Paul, they're not just talking about, you know, like something sacrificed to idols and you had the food. This is actually a religious service. Most of the meat, right, this is why this was a kind of a big deal during Paul's days. Most of the meat that was offered in the marketplaces were meat that were sacrificed to idols. Right, that was kind of the general mode of operations by which these butchers, you know, operate in. So unless they found a Jewish, you know, butcher, you know, or something like that, and they knew that it wasn't sacrificed to idols, that was the case. And the ceremony that comes, you know, as a part of this is they would sacrifice this meat to idols, and then they would, you know, send it out to the market. And so we're dealing with, I mean, a serious issue of idolatry. It's not, you know, simply the case that, you know, someone, you know, just accidentally ate something in that way. I mean, in this time, they would have known what this meat was from or was from and what had happened to this meat. And so it's not like, you know, people plead ignorance, you know, on this part. And so he tells, you know, this woman, she teaches all these things. And the funny thing is a lot of times in the modern church, people have used like this passage to say that women just shouldn't teach at all, you know, and then that would be an aberration as well, you know, because if you look carefully, just in this context, he says here, so, you know, she leads bondservants astray, right? She has them commit spiritual adultery, you know, they commit acts of immorality, this is fornication, you know, and they eat things sacrificed to idols, and I gave her time to repent, and she does not want to repent of her immorality. So, here's the issue, right? He says, the Lord prompts her to repent, or this person to repent. This person does not want to repent of the immorality. It doesn't say anything about the teaching, right? And so we can't make a quid pro quo case on this particular thing to say that this is, you know, what it's about. And so he says, okay, so I've given them over, right? I will cast her on a bed of sickness and those who commit adultery with her in the great tribulation and unless they repent of her deeds. This would be similar to what Paul says in Romans 8, chapter 1, where he says he's just given them over to their depraved mind. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know, and this is basically what happens, right? You know, there is a grace over us, you know, and the Lord prompts us to repent, and it's not just a one-time thing. The Spirit is convicting us. Eventually, when we do not repent, we are given over to our lustful ideals, right? You know, Romans chapter 1 is really, I mean, we should really study that in depth. It gives you a real clear picture of the mind of God and also the mind of man. You know, and in Romans 1, he says, and so I gave them over to their depraved mind. You know, and really, friends, that's the worst thing that can happen to us, is that God just gives us over. You know, Paul will later talk about that and says, well, I just given them over to Satan. You know, I mean, you know, I did what I could and this, you know, and so, you know, just let them suffer for a while. And hopefully through that suffering, the repentance by fire, you know, they may come back. And so, you know, I will kill her children with pestilence. You know, this would meaning whatever offspring, you know, or whatever benefit, you know, that may come from these things, you know, will be done with. And all the churches will know because going back, right, to the first issue, right, he says, because my eyes are a flame of fire, because this is what he says, I know I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I'll give to each one according to your deeds. Goes back to that, right? See, it's only I got the flaming eyes of fire. Only I can search the minds and hearts. I can go back, you know, I can go beyond intentions, go beyond words, go beyond deeds, and I can go right at the heart. You know, and so he's the ultimate judge in this thing. And then he'll because he's the judge, remember, right? The eyes of fire and the bronze feet, right? He confirms it to us. It's I am he who searches the minds and hearts, and I will give to each one according to your deeds. He's the judge, you know, when it comes down to it. And then he gives a note, but he says, there's some of you, there is a remnant that are faithful in Thyatira. You know, there are you that are there. You don't have to worry about this kind of stuff. You know, and he even says this, and you have not known the deep things of Satan. Right? What are the deep things? Or even Paul will talk about a doctrine of demons. You know, he'll talk about, you know, these schemes and these ideas, you know, that are laid out. And Jesus was very aware of some of these things. You know, the real key, right, in a lot of understanding this, is the church being introduced to teaching that leads people astray. That would be the deep things of Satan, right? It would be something that's a little bit holy, but very, you know, ungodly at the same time. You know, it's a mix. Remember, the enemy disguised himself as an angel of light. You know, he's not going to just walk on and say, hey, I'm the devil. Worship me, right? I mean, you know, he doesn't operate like, he's shrewd, he's smart. You know, and so how does he do it? He has us commit adultery. I mean, none of us are going to go to the altar of Satan, which there is, right? There's a church of Satan, and bow before Satan's altar, right? But you know what we'll bow in front of? We'll bow in front of money. We'll bow in front of relationships, right? We'll bow in front of all kinds of stuff, and we'll replace God with whatever else that we're worshiping. I mean, that's basically how the enemy operates. These are the deep things of Satan. You know, and so, you know, it'd be wise for us to begin to see, like, well, you know, who is really my God? In other words, what dictates my life? You know, where is the source, you know, of my life? Because you may very well be operating under these deep things of Satan that he's talking about. And he says, I have no other burden for you, you know, but in any case, I want you to hold fast. Remember that word hold fast, meaning cling on with all of your power. You know, it's this idea of holding on with all of your strength. It's really embracing something and really grabbing hold of something in this way. And so he says, I want you to hold fast until I come. Be faithful. And he who overcomes, who keeps my deeds until the end, to him I will give authority over the nations. Right? And this is the reward that God gives to us. Right? It's this authority. And he says, in fact, I'm going to give you an iron rod. Right? Remember the rod, you know, whenever you read that rod, it's referring to the shepherd's rod, but it was always the rod of authority. And then Jesus will actually say that again, because he'll say, and God has also given me that authority. You know, and the reward for those that overcome, God grants to us authority, right, by which we may do the works of God. And he says, and I will give him the morning star, right? You know, the greatest reward that we can get that Jesus offers is himself. He is the bright and morning star. You know, and he says, you know, I give you authority, right? And so in this way, you can look at this, right? I give you power, but I also give you my presence, right? In that we want both, right? Remember in Exodus 33, you know, Moses was interceding with God. You know, and God says, it's okay, I'll give you my power. You go up, you take care of this thing. And Moses said, no, God. If your presence doesn't go with us, we don't want to go, right? For Moses, because he understood, he didn't just want God's power, he wanted God's presence, right? And you got to hunger for both of those things, right? You know, and you know, power to overcome, power to live this Christian life, but also the presence of God, the intimacy with the Lord. You know, and he says, I'll give you authority, I'll give you power, but I'll also give you the morning star, I give you my presence. And this is what we really want, right? The presence of God, you know, moving over our lives. You know, and he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let's close our eyes today. It's funny, when I, you know, when the Lord was speaking to me about doing these letters during morning prayer, I didn't realize how rich they were, you know. But there's so much, even in this little letter in Thyatira. There's the issue of adultery, spiritual adultery. Do you find your heart committing some of those things? Or maybe you're one that you've cried out for God's power. Or maybe you cried out for God's presence. Friends, it's a duality. It's not or, it's and. It's like the big debate in the church, the word or the spirit. No, it's both. It's the word and the spirit. You can have power and his presence. He says, I'll give you the rod of iron and the bright morning star. And some of you may be in need of God's presence today. Let the Holy Spirit breathe over you. Let the Ruach minister to you. Some of you may need God's power to overcome some things. Let him place that rod of iron, the authority in your hands. And Chelsea leads us in a song of worship. Let's just meditate on those things. Let's pray over our community today. Let's pray for God's presence and His power to come over us. And let's pray that whatever we're doing today or this weekend, that His presence and His power will go with us. And if you or people in our community are going through difficulties, let's pray for that power to overcome. Right? That's what He says. It says, if you overcome, He that overcomes. Right? And the great thing is, you know, Jesus doesn't ask us to overcome. He gives us the power to overcome. Let's just pray the presence and the power of Jesus to come over us, to take a hold of whatever is going on in our lives, individually and as a church and as a community. Let's pray. Let's especially pray for those that are sick in our community, You know, let's pray for God's presence and His power to come in their lives. Presence to encourage them and to be with them in the midst of their sickness, and the power to bring healing word. All right, let's pray for Yuli's dad. Let's pray for Paul's uncle. Let's pray for John Chung's father. Let's pray for James Kim's sister. Right, let's pray for another brother at our church whose mom has cancer. Right, and is dealing with it. Let's just ask God to just cover all our friends and people in our community, right, that truly God's presence and God's power would come over their lives in this time. Let's pray. Let's pray for our men's retreat coming up this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday. I mean, let's pray for the power and presence of God to come. You know, things are coming to order right now. It can be exciting. And so let's just pray that the Lord will just move upon our lives in a powerful way. Right, let's just cover all the logistics and all our fellowship times and the games. And hopefully the Lord has mercy with us in terms of the weather. Right, and let's just pray for just a dynamic time where all the brothers come together to really draw close to the Lord. Huh? Let's pray. Let's cover this weekend before the Lord. Let's ask God's grace to be upon us. Let's pray tomorrow as the IP team is meeting. Let's pray for the missions training that's happening as well. Pray for Sunday youth group on Saturday and the Sunday service. You know, the 2 o'clock and the 10 o'clock service, and Rebecca will be speaking during that time. And let's pray for Cascade on Monday. Let's just cover the whole weekend's activities before the Lord and ask God to just shine His light upon us, and that truly the presence and the power of God will meet with us in each service. Let's just cover. And also, let's not forget Cane Road House Church tonight. Let's go to our mission focus, and let's pray for our Indonesia mission trip. Let's ask God to just bless Pastor Sam and Pastor Selamat that are leading this trip. And as they go to Indonesia, to the outskirts, that God would just show them unusual favor and very significant things would happen. And also be able to connect people from Faith Bay Ministry to back to their homes. And that God would really do something supernatural in that relationship as well. So let's cover our Indonesian team that's leaving the end of July. Lord, bless you, God. We thank you for this time, Lord. We are so grateful, God, that you are so encouraging, Lord, and that you desire and give us the strength to overcome. And so watch over us today. Watch over us this weekend. God, as we gather together as a body, Lord, let your love flow, God, and let the power and presence of Jesus meet with each one of us, God. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you this weekend.